stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes, and tell me if you take my place. Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to episode number 157 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. This week's episode is sponsored by St. Ali. We announced these guys last week as our official coffee roaster partners of the Inside Running Podcast. Since opening their doors in Melbourne over 15 years ago, St. Ali has earned a reputation as one of Australia's most iconic coffee brands. Inside Running Podcast listeners can get an exclusive 25% off online using the code IRP25 at stali.com.au. So if you're coffee drinkers out there, listeners, make the most of that code. Get yourself some good product, which we were talking about last week, and we'll be talking a bit more about later on in the podcast. Welcome to Julian Spence, not in Anglesey, not in Ballarat. Where are you, Moose? Phillip Island this week?
I'm at Cape Woolamai on Phillip Island. So we left this morning from Anglesey, 3 hours drive. Okay, went to Phillip Island is like a really cool little spot. Not sure how many people have ever been here before, but Cape Woolamai is one of the best beaches you'll ever go to in your life. There's three epic beaches in Victoria, according to me. Woolamai Beach, Gunnamatta, and Johanna Beach. They're my three favourite beaches.
Jeez, I haven't been to any of those three. Are you, Brad?
No. Running any good, Moose?
It's not great. You have to kind of get off the island a bit. Look, tomorrow I've got this loop. Oh, I've got a workout plan tomorrow, and my mate Chris, he sent me a few places to run just off the island, like 16K loop. There's like a rail trail out there, and rail trails are generally pretty good running.
So have you got to drive to get off the island to run, or you'll be able to run off it? Explain to the listeners, like especially people overseas and for people that like may not have been there like myself, like why people go to Phillip Island. Is this where the penguins are? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is penguins, like, yeah.
And the bike race.
And the GP.
Yeah.
He's circled on there. I thought so. Up near the penguins, actually. They're in a similar area of the island. So you
go
drive
and train
across.
On that. Go run on that for a session.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't consider that. I don't think you'd be allowed on that.
Oh, no one would know. It'd be pretty quiet, wouldn't it? Midweek
on the GB set.
Look, it's like Mount Panorama. Mount Panorama is like a public road in Bathurst where they do the V8s.
What, so people drive on it during the week?
Yeah, yep.
What, to get to work?
Well, no, it's sort of out of town, but people like live on the road. Like there's driveways that go off the racetrack to houses.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I had no idea. Yeah, no, Phillip Island's like to the south, east of Melbourne. It's kind of like on this little point area. There's like an open side. There's an ocean beach side that's exposed to some pretty big swells. And then there's the bay side that faces in a little bit towards French Island, and then across to what are we looking at there? The kind of like Shoreham, Flinders, Cerberus, Hastings area. Yeah.
So are you in like metro? Are you back into like a restricted area now?
No, this is regional.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we actually went through a the Ring of Steel, as they're calling it. We went through that on the way out, and we were basically regional. We had to go through metro, come out of the metro back to regional. So,
and they have all, like, checkpoints and stuff. Like, did you, they have like, yeah, border patrol?
Yeah. So that we went through a checkpoint where they just checked our license as we drove through. And obviously, like, being a regional postcode where we live, we can go through.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. How you been going, Mr. ACT, up there in Canberra? Saw you on the TV on Saturday. That was the highlight of my weekend.
I've had a pretty good week. It's funny how they spent 5 hours with us and it gets cut down to, like, a one-minute piece. But, no, that's good. We had a photo shoot last Thursday out at the racetrack. Had us holding a racehorse, and that was on the front cover of the Canberra Times today. So
was it
Thursday? So Thursday is the announcement. So I'm at 2 o'clock and Viv's at 4 o'clock. So
you ever been on the front page of Canberra Times?
Actually, interesting. I just literally got off the phone with Sean Crichton because he saw the Canberra Times, and he goes, you've been on the front before, haven't you? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Maybe when I won the Canberra Times Fun Run, I reckon I would have been on the front cover that time. But this would probably be my second.
Made in life. I did see the picture of you like pulling the horse along. Got a little laugh out of that.
Yeah, my suit's a mess after being at the racetrack with the horse.
He wasn't happy about the TV package getting cut down either, was he, Moose? Reckons they've changed his quotes and stuff around, you know, pulled bits and pieces here and there.
They do. They cut, like, they sort of cut your sentences and rearrange it.
Well, no one wants to listen to a podcast when they're watching the horse racing.
I see they took out when I said, oh, and I host a weekly running podcast called Inside Running. They took that bit out. They cut it at our weekly running podcast. They didn't get the plug in.
That's right. So will you know before the announcement if you've won it? They'll surely tell the winners, won't they? Because they'll be getting ready to, like, live cross to your house.
No, because they've got all finalists in the one Zoom call. So we're all going to be on there at the same time when they announce it.
Jeez.
So, it's going to be live on Channel 10 or Win. At, like, 2 o'clock for me and 4 o'clock for Viv.
Exciting times ahead. Tell us about your running week.
So, Monday I did nothing. I had the day off. Tuesday, weights in the morning, and then headed out to Mulligan's in the afternoon, 45 minutes, 4:13s. So that was Tuesday. Wednesday, after work, headed to the gym, rode 40K on the actual Watt bikes, whether it's 40K, I don't know, but 67 minutes, 136 average heart rate. Then Thursday, went out in the afternoon for a run and felt pretty good. It's probably the best my body's felt in a long time. I got to the top of the hill after 2K and I looked down, I'm like, pace-wise is a lot quicker than normal, and I don't feel like I'm putting in too much effort. And then sort of got rolling the last 2-3K, ended up averaging 3:57s for 45 minutes with a couple of 3:30s in there at the end. Then Friday, 35K on the bike in the afternoon, so that was an hour, 133 heart rate. Saturday, weights in the morning, and then I actually jumped straight on the treadmill while I was at the gym because we had a heap of rain here over the weekend. So did an hour of weights, jumped on the treadmill for 50-odd minutes, and I think I averaged like 4:14s or something. Obviously, the calibration's out with the watch on the treadmill. And then yesterday I went back to the gym and jumped on the treadmill again because I had so much fun in that 50 minutes on the Saturday that I did an hour yesterday at similar sort of 14.3K in the hour. Heart rate averaged about 140-ish, I think. So that was my week. I ran four times, which is the most I've run in the last month, and just under 50K for the week. So,
What do you like about the treadmill?
I like the rhythm, and like that's one thing that I haven't had for a really long time with my running is like rhythm. I've always felt like something's just not quite right, and it sort of forces you into a bit more of a rhythm. And I also find that I can focus a little bit more on technique and just like control, like just changing little things in the way that I move my arms or what I'm doing with bringing my knee through or trying to lift my leg, trying to lift my feet up a little bit more. So just playing around with that and sort of just seeing what it does to the heart rate. And yeah, so it was there. Yeah, like, and I guess my running started, you know, on the treadmill back when I was at high school. So I certainly don't hate the treadmill. Like I could do 2 hours on the treadmill, no worries.
Yuck.
Yeah.
You got a mirror behind it or something, just checking?
No, actually it's a new gym and they it's a pretty good setup. They've got all the treadmills along this massive glass window and you overlook the local, like, Gungahlin enclosed oval. So there's been a couple of times, you know, on a Saturday afternoon I've run on there and there's been like AFL on the oval. So, it's better than looking at a wall.
They give you a free membership because you're like an influencer or something?
Nah, no free membership. Signed up.
Oh, you're paying. That's a surprise.
I started listening to yesterday, actually. I was going to listen to Road to Valencia on the treadmill and I started, but just with the treadmill noise, it was just, and with my iPod, I couldn't turn it up any louder. So I could have battled through, but I thought, nah, I'll save it and listen to it when it's a bit quieter. So, yeah.
Moose got good episode. Good episode this week too.
Moose got him fired up. He just went every one of them. No one was safe.
I could hear you fine, Moose. You were pretty loud.
Yeah. Well, I was the main star anyway, so.
Yeah, the problem is you actually believe that.
You can just blend the others out. I had the best gags.
Yeah, very good. You're still pretty fit then, Brad. You're going all right. You'll hold it together. If you can do 14.5K in an hour at 140 heart rate, you've still got a bit of general fitness there.
Yeah, like if anything, I'm sort of just generally fresher. And I'm making sure, like I took today off as well, just because I worked and I just got home and just wasn't up to it. And, but I feel like I've got a good variety with, like, I think actually the weights is starting to take effect. Like, I definitely feel like I'm getting stronger in the gym, but then my body's just starting to feel a lot better than it has for the last however long. So I'll keep just doing what I'm doing. And as Viv says, I'm a lot happier. So I guess that's a good thing.
That's a good win for Viv, I reckon
it is too.
Moose, how you been going? You back?
Yeah, I'm not quite back, but I'm running more. I had a better week. Every week's a little bit better than the week before, but this week was nearly entirely pain-free, so that was very helpful, and it made me enjoy my running a lot more. So on the morning, I was supposed to run 10K. Bree and I went out for a run around Anglesey, got on some trails, some new trails and some old trails that run down behind where I grew up, and it's really fun to go back on trails like you haven't been on in. I think I worked out it was about like 20 years, and then you can remember like walking your dog down there. Before I ever ran, I used to walk the dog down there, and I'm like, oh, I totally forgot about these tracks.
Much changed, Moose, or is it all pretty much the same?
They tried to grow it out right when I, probably about 15 years ago, they replanted it, like all the tracks, to try to get rid of them. But you can't stop the mountain bikers and the runners, because they've sort of just turned like maybe a 2 meter wide path into a single track now. So it's actually better. It's fun down there. There's things there like, you know, like steps, right, where someone's put in a like a timber step to try to stop erosion or whatever. It's still there, like 20 years later. You just, I don't know. I was thinking about that. Next day, I did a workout. So Tuesday afternoon, after work, I did this with Watto. So we went to Vic Park, ran 3K warm up, then the workout was 4x1K with 60 seconds rest, and then supposed to be 5x300 with 60 seconds rest as well. And I didn't have my watch set up properly. I was sort of relying on Watto, and it was supposed to be a 10K effort. So the first one, we were running. He's not that fit, what I should say before this, before we started the workout.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you, Moose, like, it almost seems like he's doing something similar to me, semi-retirement. He doesn't seem to be running too much.
Nah, he's lost his motivation. He was supposed to do a few races and they all got cancelled, and then he kind of just, he hasn't pulled up stumps yet, but he'll, like, he can still go out. I think he still belted out 25K or something yesterday, and he'll do a lot of steady runs through the week. Without, and he's been helping Ferg, this guy actually, who ran 14:58 on Saturday morning. He's been helping Ferg out with a few workouts, so he'll jump in here and there with others. But so Watto here, so we went out first rep. I'm like, oh, I'm so unfit, this feels so hard. And Watto was puffing as well, and we get to the end and I'm like, please tell me that was fast, because that felt hard. He said, yeah, 2:59 first one. And I'm like, oh no, that's just ruined our session, because we're in this big hole already. And he got three out. They got a bit slower after that, so they went through, I think, 2:59, maybe 3:07, 3:09, and then he pulled the pin and jogged, and I did one more. I think it was 3:02, and then Motto came along. We were smashed after these reps, like hands on knees, going, oh. Like, destroyed. And Mono goes, oh, how's your rest? What do you got? And we're like, oh, 60 seconds. He goes, oh, pretty generous then. Pretty generous rest. Just like, what? It was a minute and we were cooked.
And on your GPS-friendly loop too.
Oh, yeah, no. This GPS, you can see here, I'm looking at, like, very different circles, right? You can see it's almost like there's an outer lap and an inner lap.
So is that yours and Watto's? It puts them together now, doesn't it?
That's what I'm looking at.
You ran with Ash Watson, and then so somebody's getting a much wider measurement though than the other person.
Yeah, yep. But yeah, then did the 300s, and they were supposed to be 100 meters. I forgot what they were supposed to be before we started, but they were like 100 meters build, 100 meters hard, 100 meters deceleration to try to stop the abrupt pace change for my OP, but it kind of went build in, drop Watto, maintain, and get harder at the end, and that's sort of how it went. Running them about 50 seconds, I reckon, 50, sometimes a bit quicker, some a bit slower, but yeah, towards the end I was pretty done, so that was a good session for me to come back. I felt like I got good work in. Probably a bit too hard again though for the workout, but that's what happens when you don't look at your watch. Sometimes you blow it early, especially when someone else is there with you and you're really unsure of the exact pace you're going at. But anyway, next day ran with Chop again, ran 10K around the lake, so good to get back to the lake. Haven't been running around there for a while. It was good weather. Day after, back in Anglesey, 12K, my heart rate was lower again. So this was one of the first ones where my heart rate stayed right down when I jogged, which is a sign I'm getting fitter, even though it's not a workout or anything. It was like just one of those good runs. Ran with Ellie the next day. Heart rate was quite high for this one, so I don't know how to do it, but did a few strides afterwards. Then the next morning was the Surf Coast Track Club 5K time trial. So we were in at Landy Field. There's a few people around. Well, I'm not sure how many exactly, but a couple came up from Ballarat as well, carload. And there was, so I guess from the front back, Matt Gunther was trying to run. He said he was trying to run about 14:45, 14:50. And I said, oh, I'll help out there. So I was supposed to do five laps to start with, and then would see how I'd go jumping in and out, or whether I would pull back to the second group, which were trying to break 15 minutes. But the first four laps put me in a bit of a hole, so I pulled out a lap early, and then he was going to run a 70 second lap or a 71 second lap, and I would jump back in. I did 800 meters, step out for a lap, do another 800 meters, step out. And then I basically ran like the last 500 meters, and then he didn't cruise into the finish. He smashed into the finish, ran 14:42, which was a good run from Matt. And next one across the line was Ferg. He ran 14:58, so that was a big breakthrough for Ferg. He dropped like 30 seconds off his 5K PB to go under 15 minutes.
It's a big 30 seconds too, isn't it, when you go from 15:30 to 14:58?
Yeah.
It's a significant 30.
It is a big drop. I mean, he was stoked. So that was a really good morning, good vibes at the track. There was heaps of other people out there.
Was it good weather, or were you blocking a bit of wind for Matt as
well? Yeah, back straight was windy. So next day was perfect, but it was windy on that Saturday morning. So I was blocking a bit. I think he had to do like four laps on his own, maybe three laps on his own. But yeah, no, it was pretty good to watch. And then the next day there was after that I had a bit of a break, and then I ran a 10-minute tempo to heart rate. I averaged 318. I think I was 168 heart rate. So feeling better, feeling like there is some sort of fitness building. But good thing about it is the foot's pretty good, the hips are good, and the knee's perfect. But the next day I ran 22K, probably a little bit hilly for me. My hips got sore towards the end. But that was a week of 93K, big step ups, nearly hit the 100. And then the body's feeling good. Like not, I don't really care about fitness still, but just enjoying my running because of the like pain free almost.
Bit of motivation seeing those guys run well on the track as well. Yeah, feel like you're missing out a bit, get back rolling.
Let them know, like, boss. I was missing out four laps in. I was very happy to stop. But we're going to do a 10K on December 19 if Steigen doesn't happen. I'm not sure about Zatopek, but I won't be in that. But yeah, it looks like we'll do our own little 10K on the track. So we'll see what we can do. See if we can get Gunther under 30 minutes.
Under 30, yeah, that'd be good. Steigen will be a chance though, won't it? 10K.
I don't know the details. It's looking more and more likely to be a local 10K.
I'd just like a Geelong Athletics Club 10K. Is that what you're talking about? Surf Coast Track Club 10K.
I don't know Steigen's plans, put it that way. But Steigen 1 isn't going to go ahead. We've already announced that.
We got an email about that, yeah.
Yeah, so... It mentioned on that email they were maybe looking at still just hosting a more local 10K, I think.
Yeah.
So if that goes ahead, then that will be it. But if it doesn't, then we'll do our own thing.
Just rock up. I like this, like, next couple of months of running. I reckon when things start opening up again, people are going to just be like, well, we'll just put on our own events and just do what we want and get some training groups together.
What about a breakaway series? Instead of AV, we've got Bendigo Bats rocking up against Ballarat, like one of the Ballarat groups, against Albury Track Club, Surf Coast Track Club. You've got Hunter Athletics that come along. You've got
gangs around like Albert Park. Like, I know Zaka was trying to get something sorted in Melbourne, like just some time trials around Albert Park. So it's like that kind of gang that trains around there as well.
Yeah, and there would be some, like...
You get 25 really quick.
Oh, easy. You get that Wolfpack track club.
Yep.
You've got, you could have a breakaway series. Like, instead of doing AV cross country, if someone steps up and goes, no, we're going to run this, and then we're just going to have track, like unaffiliated track clubs running it all. Mm. Yeah.
I reckon
you got a bit of time for that?
Yeah. You come up with the ideas. It's like, all right, who's going to do the heavy lifting here?
Yeah.
Coach has got plenty of time. Could be something we could put our inside run to, though. Be good. Promote it. Get a bit of trash talk between the track clubs. It's hard seeing, like, all those ones you mentioned, it's hard seeing anyone getting close to Bendigo Bats, though, the way, like, because Andy Buchanan's back rolling.
I'm still in Division 2.
Yeah, well, this won't matter now. We're not talking about AV rules. We're going street
rules. This is underground fight club.
This is exactly right.
You could be Division 2 in this league as well.
I don't think so. I'd love to see anyone take our top four. What's that? Buchanan, Trelfall, The Beast, Archie Reid.
Jeez. Melbourne track club probably wouldn't have too many issues, I reckon. Brady,
we're not inviting them. Do the triad track clubs, Brad. They're too good for us.
Yeah, this is all the other track clubs of Division Two.
Yeah. Have you heard anything about Zatopek Moose? Do you know if that's going to go ahead?
I heard a little whisper today, actually.
Oh, did you?
Probably heard.
I didn't. I heard a whisper a couple of months ago that it was moving states and it wasn't going to be called Zatopek. It was just going to be called like the Australian 10,000 meter champs. And it was just going to be like kind of a bit standalone, just the 10K kind of race of it. But what have you heard?
Well, I heard it was going to be held in late January.
But still in Melbourne.
Yeah. Still Zatopek late January. Well, that's just... That's just what came through today.
Just what landed on your desk, eh?
Yeah.
Makes sense, though, like to just push it back a little bit just based on where we are at the moment with COVID and still restrictions. I think that'd be a good time to have it.
Yeah, I reckon that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it would be a good idea too.
Because it'd be even better because everyone goes up the Falls Creek over Christmas, New Year's, and then they come down and there's hardly ever a race to do.
Mm, well, yeah, I wonder if...
Fit boys Falls coming Creek, down.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's good. I'll go through my week. I was a bit broken off the back of the old Sydney trip, the 10K and the hours in the car. Monday, I had like a medium long run in. I'm guessing you put that there, Moose, because I wouldn't have done a long run on the weekend. Did 20K, 440s at just like every step. It just felt like I wasn't covering the ground well, locked up. I just titled it on Strava. That wasn't much fun. Just wasn't really enjoyable to be hurting like that, but got it done. It was all good. Tuesday morning before I went to work, got out for 7K at 449K pace. And that, I probably went backwards. So that felt, that just hurt more. Felt like I was still more locked up. I was starting to get a bit concerned then as well. In the afternoon, I tried to go out for another 7K. Got 440 pace out. Still struggled though. Still felt sore. On then the Wednesday, I got 10K in at 434. And I just rolled the last couple of Ks just down like 4 minutes. And I was like, okay, this is good. I've turned a page. Everything's going to be all good here. I feel like I'm back covering the ground all right, and I've got a bit of pop to roll. You know, kind of 4 minute case is pretty quick for me when I'm out jogging. And then in the afternoon, I was planning to go out for just another half an hour. I was kind of thinking that I'm out of that kind of danger zone. Did the first K in 4:55, the second K in 4:50, then the third K in 5:04, and I'm like, I've got to go home. Like, I feel terrible. Feel like I'm almost limping. Did the fourth K in 5:18, jogging home. I was feeling a bit like, just like a wobbly old man going down the footpath kind of thing. And I just titled that one In Strife. So I'm like, oh, maybe this is actually like an injury. Like, this is a long time. That was Wednesday night after a Saturday night race. And that was probably the worst I'd felt. So then, I don't know, I just kept persisting kind of thing. So Thursday afternoon, I went out and just ran for 50 minutes. Didn't look at my pace. Got home thinking I was going all right. And then I looked at it, averaged 450s. And perceived effort stuff was still high. Friday morning was my uncle's funeral day. So that was a bit kind of in all sorts kind of... preparing for that kind of thing. I did get out for like 37 minutes in the morning there, still at 4:43s. Did the old the Zoom funeral, which is just terrible going on a funeral that way. It's not much fun at all. And then in the afternoon, I felt like I just wanted to go out and try something. Like, instead of waiting for my legs to feel better, I thought I'm just gonna try half the session that you had written down for me, which was like 3 minute, 2 minute, 1 minute times four. With a minute jog in between. I thought I'd just do that like times two. So it'd be like 17 minutes. I kind of set the expectation that I'd try and do the 3 minutes in 3:30, the 2 minutes in 3:20, and the 1 minute at 3:10. Like, I just really wanted to tick the legs over and see how it felt. And once I got rolling, it was okay. I was probably a lot quicker than that kind of average pace, probably more like 3:15, 3:10 for the 3 minutes, and then kind of, 3:09 I was for the 2 minutes, and then close to 3 minutes for the 1 minute. And I don't know if there's probably absolutely no science in it whatsoever, but it felt like after that, I almost come good just because I was like, even I cooled down at 4:12 pace, and then Saturday I got out for 70 minutes at 15 and a half k at 4:32s, which is kind of pretty close to my normal jogging pace. And then Sunday I met up with Glenn and just did 90 minutes at 4:14s for like 21.2k, and like, yeah, I'm all good now, but it took a long time, like Saturday through to Friday, to feel like I was covering the ground all right.
Haven't really heard you talk like this before.
Oh, I've never.
You've always been a spring chicken that can get up and just pop around and do everything.
And how much do you hate running when this happens? No wonder Brad's bangs on about. Like, I was thinking about you all week, Brad. I'm like, I don't know how he's done this for so many months. I'm like, this is terrible. It's not fun at all. I'm not enjoying it. You feel like clunky. And I was like, seriously, I'm like, I'm going to retire from the track if I've got to put up with this stuff for the next 4 or 5 days afterwards from now on. It's not worth it.
It's hard when you know how it should feel and how it has felt in the past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the worst thing. You're just like, you don't even feel like yourself. You feel like you're like just out of sync, like out of alignment. And it's just, yeah, it just feels yuck, like the way you're hitting the ground and bouncing around. But then by Sunday when it did feel good, I'm like, oh, geez, I'm glad this is back. Like it's, you can kind of run that 4:15 pace and be chatting away and still getting there. So I didn't do a lot of stuff that was planned, but I kind of just ended up getting halfway through the week going, nah, my goal is just to recover here. If I can get to Sunday and get I probably could have done 2 hours, but I'm like, let's just do 90 minutes, cut it a bit shorter, and just start fresh today. So I think I did 117K, but most of the days were singles and stuff, and feeling a bit better now anyway. So
did Archie have any, because he obviously did the same race in the same spikes and had the same travel, how did he recover during the week?
Yeah, he was a bit flat mentally. I think he didn't come on the Sunday long run. He was starting fresh again today, Monday kind of thing. We're training to get together tomorrow morning, but he just like thought like mentally he just needed a bit of a break, and I think he was a bit cooked earlier in the week. There's a couple of runs where he was doing like 5 minute K pace and stuff like that. But then I think by midweek he's like, nah, my body's all good. I just need some time just to just get over the mental fatigue of the race and how it panned out for him and stuff like that.
Yep.
But yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, can you remember you came up and stayed at my place a week after Zatopek last year? And remember, Moose, you accidentally gave me the wrong session. Instead of being a 40-minute tempo, I did an hour 20 tempo. So that was the Friday after Zatopek, so 6 days after. This time I ran 40 seconds slower, and I was still running, you know, 5-minute K pace. Like it's
how old are you now?
I'm 33 in December. So, yeah, just at the end of my 32nd year of being alive.
That'd be good. There'd be a bit of that involved and a little bit of like...
Oh, yeah. I've been running drive. A long time.
Yeah.
I've been the running drive since I was like 16.
Spikes versus next percent. Like it all adds up.
It's just contributing factors here and there, yeah.
Carry any heavy backpacks or anything around Melbourne?
Nah. I didn't go to Melbourne. I went to Sydney, but nah.
Oh, yeah. Nah.
You're a dad now carrying kids.
The back's feeling all right though, actually. The back's going all right. Yeah, but it's just like, one day I'm like, all right, my right hammy's the problem here. I've got to get that sorted. And then the next day you go out, it's like, all right, my left Achilles is now the problem. And you're just like, all these little kind of, like, they're not stopping you, but they're just annoying. Anyway, and I said to you guys a couple of weeks ago.
I think you were very patient last week, though, which was good. Like, so many people would have just, like, forced things, which it's good that you didn't do that.
And when I get to that, I'm just like, like, I'm not a sucker to, like, I was a bit of a sucker to the spreadsheet on the first day when I'm like, all right, medium, long run, let's just get it done. But then I just go, hey, my leg's the coach this week. Like, I'm not going to lose fitness still running 117K for the week, but you could really put yourself in a hole for longer. Should we thank some Patreon supporters, fellas? Kick us off, Moose.
Yeah, let's do
it. Got the boy in the blue there.
While I remember, Saint Ali, not Saint... Saint Ali.
Saint Ali?
Saint Ali.
Oh, is it? I got
Saint
that.
Saint Ali.
You sure?
Saint Ali.
Yeah, I thought I'd check that. Because I wasn't sure if it's Saint Ali or Saint Ali.
Saint
you're
Ali.
Saint Ali.
Saint Ali.
Well, everyone.
It rolls off the tongue.
Ali.
That's what I'm going with.
Like Muhammad.
Yeah.
Ali.
Like Muhammad. Exactly.
Ali. Yeah, that's what I was saying, wasn't I? Saint Ali. Ali. I oh, know that's different. Sometimes you, I told you guys I'm a bit flat tonight.
This is a good promo, though. They've certainly got their got their money's worth. We've mentioned their name enough.
I'm going to thank Tim Hitchcock. So he's from Auckland, and actually yesterday he ran 2:44. This is strategic by Tim. He's signed up because he's feeling real high about his 2:44, and he wants the world to know. And so he knew he was going to get a shout out. So good work, Tim. I like what you've done here.
Nah, I'm gonna have to ruin it for you. He'd signed up like 6 months ago, and we just hadn't got around to thanking him yet. And then this is the Instagram photo we used of him running the Auckland marathon in our singlet.
Yep.
And then his brother who took a photo was like, hey, you haven't thanked him yet on the Patreon shout out. And I'm like, oh yeah, true. I looked him up, we hadn't. So he's been patient, and now everything you just said is not true about him.
Well, it would be a good idea going forward if there's anyone out there runs a good race and wants everyone to know about it. he ran 2:44 yesterday at Auckland. Brady thinks you've got real good swagger with the white next percent white socks. Is that a white half tights?
No, he just had black half tights. But you know how the new white next percent have got like the little bit of the red and blue on it? And then our Nike, our Steigen singlet has that as well.
Oh, yeah, okay. Ties
so
in.
It was just matched the whole way from head to toe.
Yeah, good stuff. You don't want white half tights, I don't think.
You can't get them, can you? Oh, and actually, didn't you used to run in those, Brad?
Yeah, I got a pair that I used to run for Sydney Uni.
Yuck. That is not on.
White undies, half tights.
I've got a classic image of Pete Kerr in a triathlon suit that's white with just this little mushroom dick that you can see.
These ones weren't a brand name though. I think I must have found them at like Kmart or something.
Yeah, I'll find that pic and we'll post it just to let everyone know why we don't do white half tights. He was 10th place, 3-minute PB, 16:19, 5K guy, maybe 35:03 from last year. Boston Red Sox fan. So thanks, Tim. Good job.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, recover well.
Yeah.
Brad, who you got?
I've got Stelio Panayiotis from Melbourne. Hard to find much on him. He's run a few Melbourne fun runs, like Run for the Kids and Run Melbourne 10K in 2010 and 2015. Maybe has a podcast called The Lay of the Land. So,
What's that podcast about?
I don't know.
It was about like culture and stuff, like just a bit of sport, a bit of fashion. I listened to the first episode and they were talking about like building fantastic furniture, like flat packs. Just to make, I don't know, couldn't, might not even be the same guy, but yeah.
How much time do you
have? Hopefully I pronounced his name right.
Yeah, I should have been doing something else, Moose.
Dude,
public holiday today. I was just chilling out doing this. This is when Hudson was sleeping. Had to put this together really quick, these notes. Sam Walker.
Would have been good wife time.
She was working. She was writing reports. That's where I was looking after Hudson. Yep, school teacher's always busy this time of year. Hey, Brad.
Not when you're a relief.
Not exactly, but real school teachers are. Sam Walker, I'm going to thank you, from London. Maybe born in 1994. His email address had 1994 in it, so I thought I'd put two and two together there. Possibly runs for the Wimbledon Wind Milers. 37:42 for 10K. 84 at the Hampton Court Half Marathon. And 3:29 at the Brighton Marathon last year, which was the marathon that Pete LeGrice from the Road to Valencia won. So I think he's probably signed up to listen to Pete LeGrice. Thanks for your support, Sam. All those other legends over on Patreon that make the show possible, coming out week in, week out.
Thank you, guys. Bit of news
here, fellas. Auckland Marathon, past guest, Daniel Jones got the W, 2:21:57. Won quite easy from Fabe Downs in 2:26:34. And Hiro Tanimoto. Victorians might be familiar with that name. He used to run the Melbourne Marathon a few times. He used to run for Doncaster, I reckon, Athletics Club.
Yep.
Did I got that right, Moose? Yeah, you would have went a few Melbourne Marathons of Hero.
Reckon he was in a pack one day that I was in. Maybe he was ahead of me, actually.
I reckon when you paced me that year, he was
yeah.
near us.
Yeah, it was. It was one of those years. Yeah,
he was hanging on to us, I reckon. Yeah. He was third, 2:28. So Dan Jones, he was the guy that was over in Kenya, got stuck over there through all the COVID stuff. Come home, got an easy win at home there in New Zealand. Tell me about the female results, Brad.
So it was taken out by Alice Mason in 2:43.32. Hannah Olroyd was second in 2:49.25. And Margie Campbell was third in 2:52.48.
Two big names in the half marathon as well. Cameron Graves, who, he ran Zatopek last year. I reckon he ran 28.45, 28.50-ish kind of thing. Maybe a bit quicker than that. He ran 65.23 to beat the course record. And your mate Moose from your altitude camp last year, Camille Butscombe, she won the females race in 1:13.45.
Yeah, Camille Butscombe. Another one you've nailed there. But yeah, got engaged recently too.
Congratulations.
Maybe a week ago.
You got a bit of prize money to put that towards the wedding, Camille.
Yeah. I told her that New Balance should pay for the ring, considering all the promo, like all of the all the social media stuff, New Balance, like in every pick. Surely that's just awesome for them to be getting that sort of promo. They could probably fish out for the ring.
What, for so her like wedding photo or her engagement photo promos? She's always they don't have to wear New Balance like casual clothes, do they? Can't they just wear like jeans and a hoodie and stuff? Or like
but. They get it for free, so why wouldn't you? You know, professional runners are tight asses, mate. They're going to wear free shit. You know, Brad's wearing the free hoodie he got when he first went to, like, footy training back when he was a kid.
No, I'm actually wearing it was close, Moose. I'm wearing an Adidas hoodie, which I got through when I won a fun run here in Canberra. It might have been the Canberra Marathon 10K. We got Rebel vouchers, so I bought this jumper with those vouchers. So, close.
I know the type. You are the type.
That was probably 5 years ago.
Making most of it. Hey, tell us about this half marathon in America, Brad. More importantly, Patrick Tiernan's pacing job.
Yeah, so I only found out about this halfway through last week. There was a half marathon in Oregon, and Galen Rupp was running, as well as Suguru Asako. So Galen Rupp won it in 60:22. And Asako ran 61:15. Aussie Pat Tiernan, who's now based over there with Oregon Track Club, he paced Galen for the first 15K, went through in 43:15, which is only 2 seconds off the Aussie record held by Colas Birmingham, which he ran in 2008 at the Great Australian Run. So Paddy's obviously in good shape.
Interesting they had a marker there, like a timing marker for two people. Do you reckon, because Galen ran the 10-mile world American record. So they've obviously had pacing mats at 15K and at 10 miles.
Mm.
There's only two of them, right, racing? And then am I right in thinking there was only two racing?
Well, I think the others finished. Didn't the others have to finish, though, for stuff to be official?
Pat Tiernan did come in like 66:30. Because I did see someone's like, Pat Tiernan's come in third in 66:30. But then I saw that split being like, oh, yeah, he was pacing, then he's just jogged it in.
So this wasn't part of a fun run or anything?
No, this was just like, four guys on the start line go up a bike track and back.
Yeah, and they've just put pacing mats out at all the different locations. Yeah. Just in case they ran a record.
Because I think he wanted to go for Ryan Hall's. Yeah, did you read that before, Brett? Yeah, American record.
Well, he's obviously blown up a bit, going through 10 miles in the American record and then sort of trailing off.
Did you see his nasal strip thing?
Yep.
The old black lines. I thought he had like ice hockey. I only watched the Mighty Ducks like last week as well, and I was like, this is good. I was like, this is real swagger. And then I'm like, oh, no, it's just a nasal thing.
Thoughts, Moose? That yep. Sort of had a few sort of
he's got asthma issues, obviously, like I think he does anyway, but he always has pollen allergy issues, right? I don't know what the nasal strips are for. Some people use them, don't they? Someone else uses them. I think Ellie uses them.
Yeah, she does.
Ellie has all spoken about it.
But
yeah.
But these are different ones. These were ones that came out because the ones that I used to always see went over the bridge of the nose, whereas these ones just like came from the side of the nose out towards the cheek.
Mm.
And there was one on each side. So I hadn't seen those types before.
I haven't heard of them, but I can tell you right now they're selling out in every single pharmacy around America. All the froth is on it now. It's like when he wore arm sleeves. Oh, Stewie's arm sleeves, they're a thing now.
Yeah, and he used to have the tape on. Remember when they went through a stage of having like this tape up their legs and on their arms and stuff?
Yeah, aerodynamic.
Bekele was putting that in the tent before Berlin that year, wasn't he? He was sitting across. Oh, not Bekele, Kipchoge.
Kipchoge, yeah.
He was sitting across from him, yeah.
You were trying to touch him.
Getting taped
up.
I was
trying to hold you back.
That was just frothing. I'm like, this is it. What are we talking about? This in the podcast in 4 years' time. What about your mate Mo Faramus? He's going over to a reality TV show. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. Getting paid $388,000 US. I like Mo. Yeah.
Mo, you got to make it money. I mean, he's already very rich. He gets paid $1 million to rock up to London Marathon the other year. He's sorted, but he obviously lives the high life. You know, do you know how much insurance costs on a Ferrari? A lot. So when you live the life, you've got to keep bringing the money in to support the life. So, but 300,000 euros, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's it. That would add nearly 600,000 Australian.
You've got to cash in. We don't see runners make money. Very rarely do runners make money. So it's good that he's made himself a celebrity for good or for bad or whatever. Probably not good that he's known for the bad stuff, but at least like he knows how to market himself like this.
Yeah, you got to play the game and do these kind of things to stay relevant as well, especially when there's no races on. And he like if he makes it the whole time, he's there for 22 days. Like it's not that long.
What is it like? They're on an island or something?
Yeah, I think, and then they just do like challenges and stuff. And then like, can't you just leave at any stage? That's why you got to yell out like, "I'm a celebrity, get me out of here!" And then they just pick you up.
Yeah, well, the Australian one is based. They go over to like Africa, South Africa, I think. So they're basically in the jungle.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
They like eat spiders and stuff, don't they? Like do like challenges like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Brendan Vola go there?
Yeah, and Warney did it.
Hmm.
Yeah,
just all the real legends of this. I mean, Warney is a legend. Let's be real.
bit of news coming out of Athletics Australia here. We got three new positions in their high performance department, Moose. This is right up your alley as well, being the high performance athlete that you are and a coach of a high performance athlete. Just let me click on the link here so I get these names correct. Sally Pearson, gold medalist, hurdler. She's taken up one of the roles there. So is it Andrew Fachny? Have I got that right, you reckon?
Yeah,
that's pretty good. That was good for me. He's moving into the role of the general manager high performance with Olympic gold medalist Sally Pearson. She will rejoin the Athletics Australia family as the technical athlete consultant. And Liesl Jones, the swimmer, she's going to bring her... I'm reading from Athletics Australia website here. She's going to bring her passion for athlete well-being to the role of elite well-being and engagement coordinator. So a few weeks ago, we talked about Christian Malcolm going home and yeah, finishing, which was a bit earlier than what his original contract was. And now I'm assuming, Phil, you'll know more about this than me, Moose, and Brad, your history in swimming Australia, these three now are doing that role combined. Have I kind of got that right?
No, not really. They're new roles. So Andrew used to be the head of high performance systems, whereas Christian was the head of performance and coaching. And Andrew's sort of moved into this new role, I imagine. And yeah, I'm not like Sally's like, I guess, athlete liaison, I'm guessing, or technical something or other. And then Liesl Jones is a psych something or other, like the welfare of athletes or something. Is that how you read that?
Says here Jones, who is currently studying psychology, will combine 20 years in high performance sport and her passion for mentoring athletes to support the Australian athletics team on and off the track. You heard from anyone? That ringing you?
No, I got a Coles voucher though. That was pretty good.
I'm getting to that shortly, actually, because big money going into.
All right.
They got another. Yeah, that's my next bit of news. So what? Well, maybe what does this look like for high performance athletes now? What does this look like for Jess Hull and Stewie and Ali and Sinead and the people we talk about every other week?
I'm not sure it'll affect them in any way. I don't know. I actually don't know because I'm not really involved at all with this, and I can't see a great deal of benefit outside of Andrew being the manager of it all. He's obviously got a lot of experience in there. He knows the structures and everything. I can't really comment on the appointment of the other two and how they will benefit the athletes because I'm just not sure. But it just seems a little like they must have some sort of excess profit this year or something when they go, here you go, I like you, have $100,000. And then
wouldn't it just be the wage that they were going to pay Christian Malcolm anyway, though?
You don't think? No, they're going to appoint another coach.
Oh, yeah. That's where I was confused. I'm like, all right, these three are going to split his job into three.
I'm pretty sure they're still going to appoint another, head of high performance or head of coaching or whatever. Yeah, I don't think these three take his position.
Okay. Brad, you know Liesl Jones from your Swimming Australia days. How do you feel about someone coming in from another sport?
I don't have an issue with somebody coming from another sport, especially when you look at she's dealing with athlete well-being. So that's not necessarily athletics specific. And she's competed at the highest level, had the most pressure you can have on an athlete. The Australian swim team, there's so much pressure that comes with that. And also at the age, she was 16 or something. So she's been through all that. And I know that didn't she bring out a book? I know that she had some sort of mental health or dealing with the pressure. So hopefully she can use her experience to help the current athletes. And a lot of this athlete wellbeing stuff is also preparing them for life after sport, which, she's been through that herself. So I don't have an issue with somebody with a different sporting background coming in as an athlete wellbeing coordinator.
Yeah, it'd be different if she was trying to coach them.
Yeah.
The other bit of Athletics Australia news, I haven't seen this anywhere on the Athletics Australia channels, but I just saw it pop up. Someone retweeted it today on Twitter. And it was from
I didn't see it either.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've seen it
And it's
here
huge,
now.
Isn't it? I was walking the pram and it popped up and I'm like, hang on, what's this thing? Anyway, John Stephenson, the old 400-meter runner from Australia, Commonwealth Games gold medalist, I reckon, at the Melbourne Com Games, lands multi-million dollar Puma deal for Athletics Australia, worth $5 million. This is the article. At time when sports are struggling for sponsorship dollars, Athletics Australia has signed their biggest ever apparel deal thanks to Sprint King John Stephenson and Usain Bolt. This is the Daily Telegraph. They understand it's worth more than $5 million over 4 years, inclusive of merchandise.
Wow. Yeah, that is
huge,
good.
Isn't that's, it?
Yeah, awesome. That's a big deal. Getting some cash in. Let's hope it finds its way to the right people.
Hopefully the athletes see a bit, you reckon? Is that what you're hinting at?
That's what I'm hinting at.
Yeah, $5 million is a lot of money. I did think that was cool, and I think last week that was when they were doing the announcement of Coles being on board as well. I know Jared Clifford was on Sunrise. You see all the big dogs, Brad, on the social media, all the big dogs been getting these Coles packs delivered to their house.
Yeah, I'm surprised Moose.
He got a voucher. Yeah,
but why didn't you put it on social media?
I'm surprised.
I haven't used it yet. I'm going to buy a bottle of whiskey and put it up. I told you.
Still put the picture.
Put the box up. Yeah, box with your name on it.
Yeah.
Or you can get your
what
name
box?
On it.
I didn't get a box.
You didn't get the box.
I got an email.
So your second. Second tier. Third tier maybe.
Sinead got a box. Sinead put a picture of a box up.
Sinead got a box.
She got a couple of almonds. I prefer the gift voucher though.
Almost made it, Moose.
Australia must be rolling in cash with Coles and this Puma thing.
Well, yeah, they just spent it all on these new positions. They had to find it somehow. Yeah,
or sending out almonds to the athletes.
Hopefully they're not paying for that.
Brad, you want to tell us about the Saint Ali?
Yeah, so this week's episode of the Inside Running Podcast is proud to be sponsored by St. Ali Coffee Roasters. Since opening their doors in Melbourne over 15 years ago, St. Ali has earned a reputation as one of Australia's most iconic coffee brands. Whether it's a pre-workout hit, a coffee with a friend, or a long night hitting the books, St. Ali's range of blends and single origin coffees have all the bases covered. For their latest release, they've turned two of their signature blends into a ready-to-drink cold coffee in a can. Designed to be enjoyed straight from the fridge or over ice, these cans are the most refreshing way to drink coffee this summer. Don't forget, Inside Running listeners can get an exclusive 25% off online using the code IRP25 at www.stali.com.au.
Looking forward to trying those iced coffee ones.
Yeah, I've been smashing two coffees a day and still going strong. So thank you, Stali.
Stali. Even you were fucking that one up. I was like, Brady's rubbing off on you.
You've got to go at the end, Moose, okay? You'll have your opportunity to get it right with the outread. All right, Brad, listen to the question.
All right, more comfortable with the listener question. Comes in from Andy Lane. My question is regarding perceived effort. Strava subscribers can see their pace distribution based on a recent race time. Brady's active recovery zone is any pace slower than 405 per kilometre. I'm at threshold at that pace. My active recovery is 528 and slower. My perceived effort for today's 515 recovery run is 2 out of 10. What are your perceived efforts at the different pace zones? So guess what the question's asking at. For your easy runs out of 10, what's your perceived effort?
Yeah, no, this, there's a real interesting bit in here where he says my perceived effort for today's recovery run at 5:15, which is 13 seconds faster than what it should be, is 2 out of 10, as in he felt like the effort level was 2 out of 10. Now, the problem with this is that everyone perceives effort differently. And you can get, let's just say, let's take a new runner, someone new to running, and tell them to go and run as hard as they can around the lake, Wenderee, 6K. And they come back and they're stuffed and they're all out and they're spent lying on the ground. And you go, okay, rate that out of 10. And they go, 6 out of 10. When clearly they could not have gone harder. That was as hard. That was 9 or 10 out of 10 effort that they've put in. And so this is why, like for me, you have to educate people on what effort levels are, and in order to use perceived effort like ratings properly as in a coaching tool, or like in a as a calculation of stress. If you know what I mean, do you know what I'm trying to say? Some people will go out and it'll be the opposite. They'll go for an easy run, and because they go up a hill and it was difficult to go up the hill, they might judge that as a 7 out of 10 hard run. But it's really not. It's more like a 1 out of 2 if you were sort of following the right guide. This is very really confusing, and it's like, I know Michael Nischke Nitter of the Shoe Geeks podcast, he has like full on, he has like real in-depth discussions on perceived effort and how convoluted it can get when you start sort of having people like rate their perceived efforts and stuff. So a lot of runners new to the sport, what I always find is, if I'm sort of, let's say I'm Andy's coach and I've told him that he shouldn't run faster than 5:28, and he goes and runs 5:15 and says, oh, it's so easy, but then he's not performing on his easy, on his workouts or time trials or his races, then that's good justification to go back and go, well, it might be easy, but it's still not easy enough.
I think sometimes it's a bit of a trap to get caught in these. I've just found actually these numbers he's talking about on my own profile, and that kind of like active recovery at 405k pace, like I never jog actively recovering at that pace. Like I think like this is all worked out on certain mathematical equations that don't take into account like other life stress or it might just really be like one PB of ran. Or the biggest mistake people do is they go, hey, I want to run 220 for a marathon, put that into a calculator, they get all these training zones, so they're actually training somewhere they're not ready to be yet, like they're chasing it. So I think this is really and like there's a really big range here. I know, like just looking at my threshold, it kind of says it's from 257 to 309, whereas I think that's probably too big of a window for a threshold. We kind of work.
It's a massive window.
305 to 310, anywhere around there's, I think, more my threshold kind of stuff. So your body's always going to tell you what's active recovery more than a calculator that you put in putting some times into, I think. That's the first thing. And then, yeah, these windows are a bit too big, even like tempo, 309 to 331.
331?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like 50K pace for you.
Yeah, not last week, but yeah. Yeah.
The other thing, is I just read this article about Sondre Moen, Christian's crush. Well, he was out training 220K a week, and he was working at full time but he was working during the day, and he said that he was constantly super fatigued and beat up and everything, and he realized I can't get through 220K a week while I was working. And then so he quit his job, and then he started to live more like a monk, I guess, like wake up, or a professional athlete maybe, wake up, do everything revolves around running. And then his easy pace, he doesn't run anything slower than basically, even at altitude, 4 minutes a K. And a lot of his easy runs are done at like 3 minutes 40 per K, which is achievable when you live a life like he does of monkish, where there's no other stress on your body except for running.
Mm. And he's a 205 guy as well. But do you feel like, to answer Andy's question, I agree that my perceived effort on those easy days would be that kind of 2-3 out of 10 kind of rating. But that's often why I don't look at the pace, because when I'm doing them, I'm still doing them at that 2 or 3 out of 10. And some days that's 4:15, other days that's 4:40s, other days that's 4:30s. Rather than looking at this time going, well, active recovery says 4:05, I've got to chase that pace.
Yeah, prescribing paces on easy days is a trap, I think. I think you prescribe a limit, like do not go faster than this.
Yeah, unless you're trying to slow people down.
Slow is okay.
Yeah. Brad, you said anything to this question or what?
No, I haven't. But I think it's also important to understand like what like this RPE scale is as well. And I think that's where some people really get it mixed up. Like they'll say 3, but I've actually brought something up here, and it says like a 2 to 3 is light activity. So it's like feels like you can maintain for hours, easy to breathe and carry a conversation. And like moderate activity, like 4 to 6 is breathing heavily, can hold short conversation, still somewhat comfortable, but becoming noticeably more challenging. Like, so like to me, like a 3 and a 4, like that's a massive difference in that light activity to then jump up to moderate. So I think it's,
I think the gold standard now is like out of 20.
Yeah.
So the scale's out of 20 because it gives you a little bit more flexibility with how you select your effort.
Yeah. Like of all the studies that I did at the AIS, that they were always out of 20 as well. But like I would say that my perceived effort on my recovery runs would always have been on the like higher side. So yeah, probably like a 4 to 5. But for me, it's always been, if I rock up to the session, like I have expectations about what I should probably be able to run for those sessions. And as long as I'm hitting what I think I should hit in sessions, then I wasn't so concerned about the easier days. If I get to sessions and my performances are no good, or my races are no good, then obviously I'm probably doing something wrong. But like I sort of used to always pride myself, like not that I raced that often, but when I did race, I'd like to think that I didn't have too many shockers, which yeah, sort of means that I'm obviously recovering enough during sessions and things like that. So
good chat, fellas.
Yeah.
Good chat. Moose on the loose.
Oh, it's snake season now. Have you guys seen a snake yet this year?
Yeah. Seen one, a baby brown snake at Mulligan's.
Yeah. Did you shoot yourself?
No, it was okay. I could hear it move. Like I was, probably like 5 meters away, and sort of slithered down an embankment. So it was okay. But, I always find snakes actually worse when you're not expecting them. So like the shoulder season. So I remember like April, when you think you wouldn't see a snake and there's one out. That's when. Like it scares me because I sort of let my defenses down a little bit or my guard down. But yeah. now when I run, I'm pretty much like on the lookout all the time.
Yeah, it takes over actually, when you're out in the bush. It takes over. Everything you think about is snake. Is that a snake?
Yeah.
Is there a snake up there? Is that stick one?
Every stick is a snake for the next 3 months.
Or you're running and you hear a noise in the bush right next to you.
Oh, so you just assume that's a snake as well.
In the end, you did run past 15 snakes on that run. You didn't see any.
Yeah.
We just ran past a guy today and he's like stopped us. He goes, oh, I just saw two snakes up there. One of them was like 4 foot and round. And I'm like, oh, I actually kind of want to see one at the moment because I feel like it's snake season and I've just spent the last 40 minutes worrying about them. At least want to see one.
Give me something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just worried about them for 40. It's like sharks, I guess. You go out in the water and you spend 2 hours surfing just worried about what's happening underneath you.
Do you shit yourself, Moose?
Oh, I used to. I never used to think about it ever. And then something happened and it wasn't even an incident or anything. And then all of a sudden I just couldn't stop thinking about it when I started surfing. And always the same time of night at dusk, I would be out there by myself. I might be the last one out. And all of a sudden the sun's going down. I'm like, holy shit, I'm starting to freak out here. Even though it's the likelihood of getting bitten by a shark is ridiculously low, it still gets in your head.
Yeah. I remember jumping up. I was doing a session on a bike path down around Lake Ginninderra, and it was like you sort of do 1K out, 1K back. And I remember I was coming back, end of the last rep, and somebody said, oh, there's a snake up there. And I could see it on the path, but I was just so concerned about finishing off the session that I pretty much just jumped over the top of it. And it's like now I wouldn't do it. But like back then, it's like, yeah, but then I'm just like, no, fuck that. I'm not stopping for a snake. I'm just going to just move around to the side and sort of jump over it. But yeah, stupid shit you do when you're young and you're more concerned about your session.
Do you,
rather too, so no one would have even known.
Do you alter your running routes now to avoid them? Or will you still be like, no, we're committed to the bush track?
Yeah.
I've altered them.
Yeah, we altered on Sunday long run. We're like, oh, because we start at like 8 and we're probably an hour in and like it's getting hot and we're like, let's not go on that single track today. Like it's, maybe if we were out there 2 hours earlier. So we alter up here.
Yep.
Croak just does it hard, man. Just not letting the snake.
Well, I don't know. I figure, I don't know how many kilometres I've run out at Mulligan's over summers and I've seen like 6 in that whole time. It's not like you're walking, like you're running. So like they hear the vibrations or feel the vibrations. So like more times than not, they're probably going to, like there may have been a snake up the path, but they're probably gone by the time you get there.
Can we just talk about as well, because Archie and I were having this conversation the other day, and I think we might have got it right, but just to clarify it. So if someone gets bitten by a snake and you are out bush, the best thing to do is to stop, like maybe take off your running singlet and compression it, like wrap that around it. That's what you do?
There is a full-on protocol for it, but yeah, you do want
to... Something similar to that?
I think you want to bandage it the site and then... I think bandaging at the site is what you want to do and you want to sort of mobilize it. I think some people mobilizing is, we should go there. I posted it on the Running Company Ballarat's page last year and it went off. Like it was really well received. Everyone's like, this is great. But I read it and totally forgot.
Yeah. We might share it next week, hey?
Yeah, we'll look for it.
Don't get bit between now and next week, guys. Just give it a...
Taking your phone is a good idea if you're out there, like on trails where there are snakes. Because, say you get bitten by a brown snake, you can't you shouldn't really be spreading the circulating it around by going off and running. I think you're supposed to stay as still as possible.
Yeah, and compression it. I reckon, like keeping it in that spot. But then, how many minutes have you got until you're dead? 15 or something, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know.
If you go down in Barma Forest, there's no way they're getting you in 15 minutes. Take Archie 15 minutes to run out of there.
Isn't Jeff from...
Can't you suck
Jeff,
it out?
Isn't Jeff from Styx? Isn't this his area?
Yeah.
Venom and stuff like that?
Yeah, yep.
So maybe he can tell us what to do. But I've often thought about if I'm in Mulligan's and it's like you get bitten, like I know that obviously if you keep running or you keep moving, it's going to spread. But if you just lay there, and like, how long until somebody is actually going to find you? So it's sort of that, like, do you try and still move a little bit to get home or to find somebody versus just laying there? And in terms of compression, like, if I'm running in mulligans in summer, there's a high chance I don't even have a singlet on. So what have I got left? I've got my running shorts and socks. You don't have a lot to work with.
Brett Coleman runs with a bandage actually with us. So that's always nice to know.
It's not a bad idea because it's not like it's a massive inconvenience either, really.
No, not really. No, if you have one of those little belts, comfort belts, like this little webbing belt on the side, you can carry you can carry lots of stuff actually.
Well, it's no different to, like, I'll start a run in winter with arm warmers on, and I'll rip them off and I'll just carry them along with me. Stick them down my pants and, like, just keep running. Jeez, so
the arm warmers would go all right, wouldn't they? Put them around, That's what Stewie's doing.
Run with arm warmers.
Not a bad idea. Yeah, we'll get some clarification on that next week, eh? What's coming up, fellas, between now and next week? Brad, what are you doing? Maybe winning a car.
Melbourne Cup tomorrow, so Viv and I are going to have a bit of a spread at home and have a bit of a punt on a few of the races. Fashions on the Field announcement on Thursday, on Oaks Day. So
got a $70,000 Lexus coming your way.
Yeah, and then meant to be recording Road to Valencia on Friday morning. But if I win the Lexus, boys, I may be in no state to do an interview
Friday
morning.
Stay awake. Stay awake all night.
Nah, you're a dad. You'll have like three beers and still be in bed at 9 p.m. Yeah. That's how it works now.
You'll sell the Lexus, won't you?
Yeah, would you drive it or sell it? You'd probably have to drive it.
You have to drive it, yeah, for a bit. Yeah.
But
Road trip.
It'll lose 20 grand the minute you drive it out of the dealership, though, won't it?
That's all right. I'd still take 50 grand.
Still sell it for 50. That's all right. Have you got a hot tip for tomorrow, Brad? Patreon's going to hear this before the race?
No, I don't, actually. I haven't looked at the form at all.
Moose?
Too busy looking at himself, mate.
Moose, what are you doing?
Do
some tourist stuff down there?
Nah, I'm on a training camp. Call it fat camp. I've got those scales, 72 kilos I am. 72.5 to 72.2. Oh, I'm at least 4 kilos heavier than I thought I was. Very depressing.
What else do they do? They tell you the weather and stuff, like you said?
Tell me the weather, yep. So I can pick out whatever. I actually like them. I just get out of bed, go and use the bathroom, and then step on the scales, and I'm like, okay, still fat.
It says your name, doesn't it? Like, Good Morning Julian and stuff like that on the top.
That's the my name, yeah.
Yeah, the picture I saw had your name. Not your name.
But... connect with me. Yeah. I just hope that the weight doesn't come up on Strava.
You told us about that last week, so what was your purchase this week?
Well, I think I'll give you an update on my leg pillow. Hasn't arrived yet. I think I've been scammed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you don't buy stuff off Facebook. It still hasn't shown up. That's like 3 or 4. It could be even be a month now. And I sent them emails, no reply. So, yeah, I think see you later, $30. Ooh. Have to go back to just using a normal pillow. What else did I buy? I didn't. Oh, hold up.
You can't plan this.
Two Toms. So people use Body Glide, and Body Glide is a good product, but Two Toms is a better product for chafing, especially for runners and men, like in the crotchal area, nipples, that kind of thing, men and women, I think. But basically, instead of having a balm, it's like this little, it's like a roll-on deodorant, but it's like a little oil slicky thing. It just washes off with water, but it's so much better. And that's been, like, as we've been sweating more, chafing more, Two Toms. It's called Sport Shield, made by Two Toms. Oh, good product.
Do you happen to stock this in your store?
Yeah, we happen to sell this one, actually. Okay. So
this segment isn't what's on special at the Running Down the Ballarat.
Send him an invoice, Zaka.
Yeah, very good.
Okay, yeah.
What about you, Brady? Got a tip? Got anything interesting happening?
I usually go. We have our Cup Day races in Echuca tomorrow, but obviously with the COVID stuff, it's been cancelled. But the Mullingar Bowling Club have organised like food and drinks to get dropped at your house so you can do it from home. So they just drove around, bought me a six-pack of beers, bottle of wine, and this like platter to have while watching the races tomorrow, which will be a bit of fun. A couple of workouts, going to go to Shep, get on the track later in the week, do a bit of teaching Wednesday. That's about all. Twilight something's going to win, I reckon, Brad. My dad's mate, he's mates with a trainer or something, he reckons.
His
next-door neighbour's cousin knows someone. Yeah, so this Twilight something. Twilight, I don't know what it's called. Anyway.
Oh, Twilight Payment.
Yeah, it's the one. It's from Ireland or something. It's a steep.
34-1 at the moment 34. In paper.
Jeez.
Yeah. I got a soft spot for the Chosen One. It's because you know how there's 24 horses and each horse basically, there's 24 different towns that if their horse wins, they get $50,000. And they're all sort of towns that have sort of been hit, you know, by bushfires or things like that. So like the Batemans Bay area, I think they've got the horse called the Chosen One. So it'd be nice to see that one get up. That's it's paying 41-1.
Yeah, get on it, Ruffy. If you're going to win, win big.
A lot of money in racing. Jesus, just 50 grand, throw it.
Yeah, yeah.
70 grand cars to give away.
Yeah, I know. God.
In the wrong sport. All right, fellas, I could bear jockey too, I reckon. Sound like one. Just jump on a horse, probably weigh the same as one. Got the race tactics, but won a lot of races over my days. Might try that.
Probably don't have the real mongrel that you need to be a jockey.
Yeah, I couldn't hit the horses. I'd be too nice to it. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, yeah.
I couldn't do that.
You've got to be competitive, don't you?
Yeah, throwing some elbows around.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I tell you what, they're pretty impressive, those horses up in person. Like when we had that photo shoot during the week, like here I'm trying to hold it and it just like its head just sort of like it just nodded, like just shook its head up against me and I got like flown into the guardrail. Like they're powerful things. So, anyway.
Wish they videotaped that.
Yeah. Moose, you gonna tell us about our sponsor?
Here we go, listeners. Here we go. Let's give them a score out of 10 at the end of this, Brad.
This episode of the Inside Running Podcast is sponsored by St. Ali Coffee Roasters. Since opening their doors in Melbourne over 15 years ago, St. Ali has earned a reputation as one of Australia's most iconic coffee brands. Inside Running listeners can get an exclusive 25% off online using the code IRP25 at www.stali.com.au.
25% off is pretty significant.
It's pretty good. I reckon these guys have a joint like LA Airport or something. I remember seeing them somewhere big and I'm going, oh my God, these guys have grown huge. I reckon they're international now.
I saw a little like promo video on their website and it was pretty cool. Like it's very like cool like decor and stuff in the cafe in Melbourne. Have you been there?
Yeah. But we used to go to the one up in like North Fitzroy or something, Brunswick maybe. You know, it's actually on the Capital City Trail. So you can, a lot of people run the Capital City Trail in Melbourne. And there used to be a cafe, St. Ali was there, right there. And used to be really quite good. Like we actually went from Geelong just to go to have breakfast there one day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty, it had a real good rep.
There you go, listeners.
Favorite blend so far?
The coffee one.
I like the green one, Brad, that you were talking about last week. The one with the iced tea hint at the end. Which is good.
Yeah.
If you're in the coffee, listeners, help support people that support us if you can. See you later, boys. We're done. See you next week.
Have a good week.
See you later.
Enjoy your holiday, Moose.
Yeah. Relax down there, Moose.
Yeah, thank you.